Hey everyone, this is Jocelyn Bellows and welcome to this edition of Leap. Joining me today is Susan Crawford. And Susan, I'm already laughing because we just got on, before we even started, I had to ask her how to pronounce something. So Susan is a coach and speaker at Meraki Inspired Coaching and Consultation. Susan is a dynamic coach, facilitator and speaker, and the founder of Meraki Inspired Coaching and Consultation. She's a fiercely courageous trailblazer who left her corporate job 3 years ago to create a life that set her soul on fire. Susan teaches women how to say no without guilt, conquer self-doubt with compassion and courage, and live each day with purpose and limitless possibility. Her program, Find Your Way, helps women to rediscover who they are so they can lead and live unapologetic, unconventional and unfuckwithable lives. I love that. I love that term, unfuckwithable. Susan, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thanks, Jocelyn, for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to get right in. And the reason that I was laughing for the audience is Susan's actually up in Canada. And I was like, oh, I'm going to talk about corporate America. And she's like, corporate Canada. And I was like, I know I'm going to say that wrong. So you can call me up. So I'm going to call myself that up. So Susan, 3 years ago,
yes,
you're in corporate America, corporate Canada.
Corporate Canada, yes.
And what happens? Like, what was that like final straw, or what was leading up to like, I am not, this is not me anymore?
Yes. Well, I don't know if it was ever me in the first place. It was the job that I had after a really great job that sort of was a fit for my life at the time. And we called it the helmet. And we always, a friend and I always said, don't get stuck in the helmet. Like, just go in, go out, get what you need and be on your way. And so I was able to have two babies there and had my mat leave and had the wonderful golden handcuffs of the pension and the benefits and the paycheck. And 8 years later, I was still there. And I think that's when it really hit me. There was some change in leadership. And when two people just don't connect, like oil and water, morally, ethically, on a soul level, for me, that was when I realized that I couldn't stay there any longer because I was losing myself. Like, I felt like I was selling out every single day I walked into that building. And I wasn't doing work I loved, and I wasn't able to do the work I loved. So fast forward to the year that I finally put my foot down and said, I'm going to start putting these things in place to start the process of leaving. Mm-hmm. My 10 minute that changed my life was when I handed in my resignation, and that boss said, okay, thanks. And turned around and went back on to his day. And I said, this is the best decision I have ever made in my entire life. I felt so sure and so just concrete. This was it.
Let's stay in that moment for a minute.
Mm.
So you hand in your, before you hand in your resignation, let's actually go back there for a minute. Before you hand in your resignation, what's going through your mind? Like, what are you thinking? Oh. About? What are you feeling? What are you anticipating before you actually turned it?
It was a combination of fear, anxiety, disappointment, because I was raised by boomer parents that when you get a government job, you've made it. Like, that's where you stay for life. And it's more about loyalty and your connection to where you work. And it's about putting on a happy face and getting the work done so that on the other end of life, when you get your pension, you can collect what you've earned and start living, as they say, right? Yeah. So I was going totally against the grain to my family, to, like, my husband was like, are you serious? You want to quit a job now? Are you kidding me? And I just knew, like, in the core of my being, like, I could not stay there. Like, mm-hmm. Everything in me was repelling that place just because I did not fit. And so it was a lot of those feelings, but also excitement. Because I was like, wow, this is character defining. This is stepping off the path, you know, stepping out of line and being like, hey, I am going to walk my path now.
Yeah.
And that's like the courage, right?
Yeah. And so you turn in this resignation, and that's the response you receive. It's like, no big deal. And
bye. Yeah.
So now where are you? You've given it in. Now what's happening in your mind? What's happening in your body?
I turned around with the biggest smile on my face, with the lightness and the air of like the biggest, fluffiest clouds. Like I felt completely liberated. Like I took the key, unlocked my handcuffs, they fell away, and I was free. And I have never been so proud of myself, but also never so sure of a decision in my life.
Yeah.
That I had done it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So here's the thing though. You have this liberation, you have this freedom. Mm-hmm. Did you have a game plan?
a formal game plan? No. I knew I was starting my business. I knew that I was going to be a coach. I knew that I am a trainer and facilitator and speaker at heart. That was going to be my business. Did I have the formal business in place? No. Still don't, because that's not me. That's not me. It totally goes against my husband's, like, you know, very planning left brain way of being, but I am the complete opposite. Like if I'm not feeling it, I'm not doing it. And I came from 8 years of structure and spreadsheets and organized, that's the way we've always done it mentality. And I was not going back. It was going to be created by me every step of the way.
And I'm so, I want to just say this. I'm so proud of you for recognizing that for yourself. And I mean, what you experience, I hear on so many of my shows with so many of my guests and myself included in that, when you have those moments, those intuitive hits, as I like to call them, that you can no longer ignore the fire within your belly to actually do something about it.
Yeah.
You know, for myself, prior to, you know, my journey really began with I tend to say this, my journey actually began when I left my marriage. However, prior to that, you know, I also was wearing the golden handcuffs for many years. I was in a role for 10 years and safety and security. I was in a director level role about 8 years in, had a situation that came up with my company that we were about to fold. And had we not taken some very decisive actions, company was going out of business. And at the time, even though I was in a director level role, I really wasn't empowered to do anything. Months later, our CEO got caught with his hand in the cookie jar. And he got ousted.
Oh.
And that was probably one of the best things that could have happened, because now it's just myself and one other, you know, general leadership person who really wasn't doing a whole lot. I picked up the phone, called my network. Two weeks later, I was in Seattle, garnering a merger that saved, not only saved the company, we are merging with the largest entity in the world in that very specific business. So really exciting stuff, right?
Yeah.
And went from a very archaic way of being, very diminutive, demonstrative being or space, to a new company, which we merged within a year, and within a year and a half, we were fully integrated. And they were very much into personal development and coaching and growth. And it was like, it really went, feels like night and day. So I'm so excited about what this future is going to look like. We get into this business and everything's rolling beautifully. And as soon as we're integrated, I'm back in my old role. And I'm like, I can't do this anymore.
No, I can't.
I've graduated beyond it. My growth is there. I'm crying every day, and I'm crying every day for work. I'm crying every day because my life is just miserable. I'm miserable with everything. And that was about the time we decided to make this move, and some other things happened after that. But the reality was the recognition of no longer fulfilling.
Mm-hmm.
Fulfilled the moment and the thing of the time.
Yeah.
No longer fulfilled.
Yes.
So now what? Yeah. So here you are in the now what phase, and you knew some things. How did you start to piece that together to create your life?
Yeah. Well, I think, as you said, it didn't start with me just being dissatisfied with my job. If you rewind, you know, 6 years, 5 years, when I had my first child, like when I had my daughter, like I lost myself. So I had gone from professional to instant mom. A year off, which thankfully we have here, but a year of just trying to figure out, like, okay, so who am I now? And then going back into a completely new role in this organization, muddling along and doing what I do, having another child, going, okay, so now I'm considering, because it's so bad there, what if I had another kid to get another year off? And I'm like, whoa. This is not a strategy.
No. To each their own. You know, there are families out there that want those multiple children.
Yes.
However, you're using this as an excuse, right. Not as a reason.
This is a year-long escape for me. This is not an escape. Like, this is...
Okay.
So when that starts flipping, wait a second. Exactly. That's actually when I came back to my role and met my fantastic manager at the time, who got me into coaching. And that was when I started realizing that I had choice. As much as I thought I was in these handcuffs for life and that I would see it till December 31st, 2044, which was my retirement date.
Wow.
There's a reason why I knew that date. It's almost like being in prison and like making the marks on the walls, right?
You know what just totally sparked for me, and I'll come back to you in a moment. Yeah. So I have a very, very dear friend who is in the FBI, and like, she knows her ending. She's like, when I am, like, this is my retirement date. I'm like, that's great. And that's her striving thing. But I often wonder for her,
yeah,
you know, are you really satisfied? But that's her job. Right. That's her journey, and it's her role.
Yeah.
So. And the question anyway, is, so you have your calendar. Right?
Yeah.
Every day is a
sacrificing till I got to that day, and how much longer could I hang on?
Yeah.
So coaching and being coached was actually the awakening that I was like, holy crap, I have a choice in this. And one of the exercises was, I know, mind blowing. One of the exercises was write your resignation letter. And I was like, yeah, you're kidding, right? I wrote that letter and I started the first draft of, I've been here 8 years. These are the wonderful things I've contributed. Thank you for the memories kind of thing. And I said, you know what? This guy doesn't care. And he didn't. It was, thanks very much. This is my end date. I'll help with the transition as much as possible. And that was it. And so this whole journey of rediscovery and figuring out what I wanted, not where I felt I had to stay because that was somebody else's expectation or that's the right thing to do according to somebody else. Like listening to those hits when over and over and over again, it's like, here's a reminder why you shouldn't be there. Here's a reason why you should be charting your own course. Here's a reason why this is not your space. And listening to those and honoring those and responding to them with, okay, you know what? You're right. Why am I fighting it? Why am I fighting where I shouldn't be and limiting where I can be?
Why are we swimming upstream when we can swim down?
We used to say pushing rope uphill. Like, why am I pushing rope? It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't.
Yeah.
Not at all. And one of the quotes I'm going to share, because this is one that just, it continues to come up in my world, and it's something I came across 2 years ago. Finding your passion isn't just about careers and money. It's about finding your authentic self, the one buried beneath other people's needs. Ooh. And it sounds as if, sounds as if that's some of what you were experiencing. Like, you know, you said yourself, you had all these external expectations, like your parents were like, oh, you hit the jackpot with this job. Your husband is saying, why would you leave? You have everything you need.
Yeah.
So exactly. What then kept pushing you to push through that? Because here are like your two tenets of support.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now what?
And knowing that I've got kids to feed too. Right? I mean, I want them to go to school, my expectation, right? Like I want them to go to school and have food on the table and live a comfortable life. Mm-hmm. And here I am basically saying, so I can create that where I am. And I'm saying no to it, like full on, it's not happening. I was a different person and I didn't like who I was becoming. I was spending all of my happy juice at work just to get by. And then coming home and being completely depleted, short-tempered, irritated, frustrated, I was ruining the relationships that were most important to me. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't okay. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if, like, I still don't know if my husband gets it, but I feel like unless you're in that type of Azkaban, that your soul is being stolen from you day after day, you can't understand how desperate the need is to get out. Like I feel like the emotion is just coming back because it's like, it was life or death. Like it was, I need to get out or I will lose myself.
Completely. Because it's what it feels like.
Exactly.
That's exactly what it feels like. And first of all, I love the Azkaban because I've never actually used that term. I've never heard that terminology outside of Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Well said. So a situation that occurred for me in my early 30s, I was We were recently engaged. Mm-hmm. And he had come home one day and had said to me, and I think he was in a job that he wasn't really crazy about. And he's like, I want to start a downhill mountain bike park. Now, a little background to that. He was a semi-professional level downhill racer, was nationally ranked. I think he was at the time, he was like 3 years running the top racer in the country as a non-pro. So we were entrenched in the community. Mm-hmm. And this was his passion, right? This is what he lived for. This is what gave him joy. And he comes home and says, I'm going to do this thing. And I will tell you the fear state that came is like paralysis.
Yeah. For,
why the heck would you ruin? Why would you do that? Why would you challenge safety, our security, right? And then a lot of other things that stem from that. He did it anyway. Mm. And he would, and every time he took a step forward in, toward that goal, the doors kept opening and opening and opening. And within the first year of business, we were making national headlines. We were getting business very comparable to our closest neighbor that had been around for a decade. The park had been around for over a decade and professionally built. And we were a homegrown mom and pop, me and him and volunteers. And so you know you're onto something, right?
Yeah.
And so that was a really wonderful lesson for me to have witnessed, because I was on the other side. Like, I was your husband in this situation.
Yeah.
He was not supportive. I mean, like, really just not supportive.
Yeah.
No one was supportive of him.
Yeah.
Yet he had his fire and he did it.
Yeah.
And then we got to see the community. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So I understand it from that perspective and then my own. So
sure.
Here you are and you're just pursuing and you're going to
do it.
So how then, though, did you determine the type of people your clientele? Like, how did you determine this is the group that I know that I am here to serve?
Yeah, well, it was iteration after iteration. And I mean, the doubt from, you know, family and friends of like, are you sure? Like, you know, it comes from all angles when people don't get it. But I feel like this business has been me finding my way consistently taking a step, you know, pivoting, take another step, revise. And I think that is the whole growth journey. And I think that's what coaching opens up for people, is that there is not just one path. It is a choose your own adventure where you're skipping to page 35 and going back to page 4 and, you know, heading to the end. But there's never a linear path. Like, it's so dynamic that I started working with millennials, and because I used to mentor interns when I worked for the government, and it was life-giving. They opened up so much for me, and I just appreciate them so much. Mm-hmm. I worked with moms, new moms, but they were at capacity. They were already feeling overloaded, so coaching felt like a luxury. I started working most recently with women, working moms, because of COVID. You know, there was so much overwhelm in this experience of everything else being loaded onto our plates that we weren't managing. And this has evolved into helping women choose their path, letting go of your mother's expectations, society's expectations, the gender stuff, all of that, and just saying, what is it that I want? And what do I need to do to get it? And it's sort of like swinging between a pendulum, I imagine, between like the structure of society and what you're expected to do, and then being totally off on the other side, being like, I'm living my free life the way I want to, but finding that middle ground where you can exist in a structure, but still being true to yourself.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, I'm a breakup to wake up coach, right? And the construct is really around relationships, or at least my clientele that all come to me are all coming to me because they have things within their romantic relationships that they want to improve or revise or revisit. And really, you can get down to it. It's your relationship to self and self-love, right?
Always. Yes.
It always is. And so my journey was always has always been based on romantic relationships, that no surprise to me, that's what's come my way. And I think I was in denial for a long time because I was like, okay, this is where I need to most heal. Right. For the best and the worst of it. But the breakup to wake up piece is so crucial because it's a lot of what you just illustrated. It's walking away from the stories, the expectations, the negative thoughts, all the things that no longer serve you, the expectation of what you thought your life was.
Yes.
And I literally had this conversation yesterday evening with a girlfriend who has a very, her practice is actually quite similar to Thread as mine, although I come from more the cognitive NLP side. She comes from the healing, the energetic body side of the conversation. And yet we're on the same subject matter. And the big one that we were talking about last night was this expectation of painting this picture of what we thought our life was meant to be like. Mm-hmm. And as girls, I mean, as young girls, and I don't know for you, but for most girls, and her daughter who's 8 was saying this, like, we grow up with this idea that we're going to be married with 2.5 kids, have this wonderful job, have this wonderful husband, and the beautiful home and the friends, and then you get there and you're like, so I have everything, where's my happy?
Why am I not happy?
Where's my happy? Because you're not living in here.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And it's that journey inward that has to start. And I find for a lot of the women that work with me, it's around 35 to 40 where we hit that midlife. And I mean, we stop and go, hold on a second. You wake up that one more morning and you say, hold on a second.
Yeah.
I don't want to autopilot anymore.
Yes.
I'm not happy. Yes. And I'm the only one that's responsible for this.
And yet we disempower ourselves every day when we make those decisions that don't serve us.
Yes.
I found, remember one of the first times I sort of got that context clue. I'm sure I've had many before then. Mm-hmm. Shortly after I had my son, I desired to breastfeed him for a year. Mm-hmm. And at 5 months, my line just, it dried up. I mean, I was in a lot of stress. We were going through the merger at the time. My husband at the time owned a business of his own. So I was working full-time, helping him at the business, being full-time mom on the weekends solo because he was working on the weekends, taking care of the house, taking care of everything, right?
Wow.
And so the stress level was really high. I didn't quite understand all of this at the time. But I remember like when I dried up and I'm so disappointed. And I was so disappointed in myself because I was like, I can't even nourish my child. No, okay, my child's fine. He's 5 years old and he's healthy. Yeah. He's totally fine. But at the time, that was a pinnacle important thing for me.
Yeah.
And this is the end part. I got more freedom back because he was no longer attached to me. Amazing. Like he, you know, and I was like, oh, I get a little bit of me back, right? And I think moms go through that. And I think only moms can identify that, right?
Yeah.
Because you know they're getting not getting other people are not getting their lives literally sucked out for them.
literally
getting sucked out. And I got that little piece of me back.
Yeah.
And every time, as I started my journey of awakening, I take a step towards something I love. Like this picture behind me is the first 14er I ever did in Colorado, which is there are peaks out here that you can climb to 14,000 feet in Colorado. Wow. It's a thing Coloradans do. And as an adoptive Coloradan, I was like, that's a thing I'm going to do.
Yeah.
That's a reminder for me. That was when I chose me. I keep choosing me.
That's brilliant.
And every time I do that, I stand in my power. So let's talk about that. How does that iterate for you?
Oh, that's so powerful because it is a choice and it is intentional. And those steps need to be so deliberate. They need to be deliberate because I have been pulled back countless times because of who I might be disappointing, what they might be thinking, the guilt of, oh, maybe I should have done more. And I think for me, I like to connect to, you know, that inner leader. Who is it in me that I embody, that I want to emulate so that I can call forth all of those wonderful things when I am doubting myself, when I am not feeling my best. And for me, it was Moana.
Talk about that. Well, I haven't seen the movie truly. So.
Oh my God.
I mean, I know the one theme song and I love it. And I can't think about it now, but yeah.
So I say any woman who questions that little rumbling, that little voice inside of her needs to see that movie because the power she has in answering her call. She answers her call despite the doubt and the fears of her parents, of the village, of everybody else around her. And she believes and trusts in herself. Mm-hmm. And I think when you know who you are, when you trust who you are, that is when the possibility opens up. But because we live in such fear of, well, what if I fail? What if it doesn't work? We don't try. And so I call in that my Moana, because it is scary to walk a path alone. It is scary to deviate. It is scary to do something that other people have not done or looked down on and still feel confident every step that you take, because it's not easy.
Yeah.
It's not easy. And so
I love to share with, if you can, if it's easy to recall, because I, and in fairness, I know, like, I intentionally don't
put
questions in beforehand, right? I don't give you the preset questions. This is as it arrives. A time for yourself, like a fear that you walked through on solo, and what was, you know, what were the learnings you had through that, and where, what came out on the other end of it?
Yeah. Well, the first one that immediately comes to mind is my resignation letter. Mm-hmm. Another one, and it's funny that it's places where there, you think you have control and then you don't have control and then you regain control. So, my second daughter, when she was born, had to be an emergency C-section, and it was like, okay, this just has to happen. And so it's almost like dropping out of my head and into my body, knowing that I am capable and that it's going to do what it needs to do in this moment to keep us all safe. Like those moments where I surrender instead of trying to hold on tighter, and trust, whether it's trust the universe, trust myself, trust the people I've surrounded myself with. It's letting go and just saying, you know what? I have what I need. I believe I have what I need. I trust that it's going to serve me, and I'm just going to take the next best step.
Yeah. I have some really concrete examples that have happened in the last few years. And again, my awakening has been about 3 years running as well. So when I moved out here, and I'm, this house that I'm in now is like twice the size of my previous home. It's 6 bedrooms. It's way more than I need. However, now that I'm in it, you know, there's some financial sense for me to say.
Yeah.
That said, I started to put my rooms on Airbnb for rent. And I did it for about a year to help me financially to recover because of the you know, the finances that changed when in divorce. And I started doing that. And I knew that, you know, at the time it was not ideal. It wasn't what I wanted. You know, I do see the gifts out of it because I met some amazing people. I've actually created some friendships out of some of my former guests. I've had repeat guests. And I learned about how to interview people. And it wasn't my intent. Like, I didn't have a show back then.
Right.
I learned how to open up and be vulnerable. I learned a lot of wonderful lessons, but the piece of the fear that was still holding on was the finance, because I'm doing pretty well, right, with this piece. And it allowed me to explore other parts of my being. It allowed me to build my business. It allowed me to do some other things. However, the moment that I released it, the moment I said, I can no longer do this, because it was starting to actually affect my son energetically. And he, fortunately, I mean, he's young enough that he still has his empath and intuitive very strong. And because I'm aware of this now, like, I really encourage it. And he starts being very vocal about how he's feeling. And I'm like, okay, I can no longer ignore this. And so even though I was fearful about releasing that, I did. Mm-hmm. And at the time, like, my business was still new, and, you know, the clientele, like, it wasn't quite enough to support me fully financially. So I was like, I know I need to get a job, like a full-time job. Mm-hmm. And I call it my investor, right? The moment I did that, 3 weeks later, I got an offer. 3 weeks.
Wow.
What I did is I released a fear.
Yeah.
And I released something that wasn't serving me to create space for something that did.
Yes. Wow.
And so that was just, you know, that's just one example. And I keep leaning into that, that place. And it's not all the time, right? And I want to be very clear with the audience about that, because I think, and I'm sure you've been, you do too, like, fears will continue to arise in so many different iterations. Mm-hmm. Me right now, I'll be honest, one of the things I know that I need to do is be still. And I literally pulled that tarot card yesterday. I have known it. So now it's like, all right, that's my homework assignment. Just be still with me.
Yeah. That's beautiful. And for me, one of the fears I think is always been the financial piece. I think growing up, there was always a save and scarcity mindset, and you know, leaving a good paying job, that's the same thing. When you become a coach, everybody coaches coaches, and they want them to be six-figure coaches, seven-figure coaches. And it's like, if I am aligned with my integrity and who I am and who I desire to serve, I don't need the bells and whistles of naming myself to be a 7- or 8-figure coach. I am serving in my way. And I feel like there's a humility in that. Like there, it's a humble service. And if that comes, fantastic. If it doesn't, it's not going to dictate my worth or how I commit to what I have chosen. Because this is my choice and I'm 100% in. And I feel like when I shifted from the fear and having a foot into, well, if this doesn't work, then I have to do something else. When I took that foot out of the something else and went into, okay, I'm committed to this all in, let's see what happens. And then if that changes, I can shift with that. But for now, I need to be all in order to fully be who I am.
Embody it.
Yeah.
And I think, and I'm glad you're bringing up the shifting and the pivoting component as well, because I know that, you know, again, having talked to so many entrepreneurs and more so in this space, but season one was a little more, it was a little more broad. It wasn't quite specific to coaches and healers. And the amount of people, and I would say 3/4 of this group that I've spoken with have all had moments of pivot. And I think you and I connected through a mutual coach, Alex Agresta, and like, she's killing it, right? She's been committed to this for 3 years, and she continues to pivot. It's the same hedgehog principle. I don't know if you're familiar with Good to Great, but Good to Great is a business book, but it's really like you have this central point, like this is the thing. But you may pivot around that central point. So for you, serving women is that central point. So, and serving women who are looking to make vast improvements in their life. And what pivots is the specific type of woman, right? Yes. You're pivoting around it.
Yes.
Alex, as I've watched her blossom in the last 2 years, hers has continued to grow around speaking. Speaking for truth and speaking into purpose. And she's gotten, I think, moved away a little bit from the one-on-one coaching component and the coaching groups to like be more specific about coaching how to speak on stage. Because that's her love.
Yes.
And so I watched that and I'm witness to that. And I think it's really important that, you know, yes, you want to commit.
Yeah.
And listen.
Yes. 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 You know, it's commit, but you are not like in concrete shoes. Like you still have the ability to move around and see what works. And I think that's survival in business. This is why corporate for me didn't work. They figured out a way, they cemented themselves in that way. And any innovative or out of the box thinking or approach was, well, we've always done it this way.
It's like innovation killer. It makes me sad. When
it does.
I want to be like, come on.
And so, when I mentored the interns, you have all this freshness coming in, ideas and energy, and they were squashed because this is the way we've always done it. And it pained me to see them feel so disempowered. And so the mentorship program became sort of a mini coaching program of, listen, figure out who you are, what you want, even if it's not what your parents want, figure out how you're going to get it in life. And if this is not your place, do not feel compelled to stay here. That's it.
It sounds so simple though. It sounds very simple. And I think, but it takes, I think, a lot of grit and self-belief.
Yes.
To really commit to that. I remember in my early 20s, I worked in New York City, and I was spending an evening with my roommate, one of my roommates at the time, and some of her friends from college. And these girls were really tight. They'd been tight throughout college. And I am the outsider in this group, right? And one of the girls recently married, and she married a college sweetheart. Maybe we were my high school sweetheart, I don't remember. And she looks around this room, she's like, and she didn't look at me when she said this, which was fine because I didn't really care for her. Anyway, she looks around there and she's like, I don't need anyone else in my life. That's all I need right here, right now. I don't ever need to meet anyone new or need anything new. And I just, gosh. And I remember I was 22.
Wow.
And I thought, okay, first, that's why we don't get along. Yeah. Bingo.
Yep.
Really even starting. Wow. You've barely scratched the surface into life. Yeah. And you're already cutting yourself off.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Safety, security, right? This idea that we're safe if we know who's around us and what we're doing. But it's like there's so much more, and there's so much more failure to learn from. There's so many more experiences to take in and grow with. And, you know, and it's funny, like just that mindset. I work a lot with emotional intelligence as well. And you had said something about how you see yourself and like how much you your self-worth.
Yeah.
All of that ties into how you're able to experience life and morph with it as it requires. Like right now in this global quarantine, was anybody expecting this? No, but we have been forced to pivot. We have been forced to shift. And those that have not been able to are struggling.
Yeah.
Those who have unrealistic expectations of what homeschool should be like, of working from home should be like, it's a struggle because
there's no one way. They've chosen to make it so.
Yes.
It doesn't, you know, when you put this confine of what it's meant to look like, then you have an expectation to live into,
yeah.
Right? And, you know, like for, you know, the early days, I'll be very honest with you. I mean, most of this quarantine, I've been sailing, most of it. You know, and I early days of when I started to feel really good about it and when I brought the show back, I mean, that's been part of it because I brought the show back. And I was like doing this, like my face was just vibrating because I was so excited. And I'm like, I probably just like mute that because who knows how other people are going to feel about the fact that, you know, people are getting sick and people are dying. And I was like, wait, that's other people's expectations. I'm doing okay. And I'm going to shine this light because there is that possibility. You can thrive through this. One of the early conversations I had with a friend who is a school teacher, retired school teacher. She left teaching. She's not retired. And I said very early on, like, you know, my son's in kindergarten, so his schooling's pretty easy. I have to be honest with that.
Yep.
And I said to myself and I said to her, I said, you know, he's gonna do his classroom stuff, you check the boxes because that satisfies other people and satisfies dad, right? Because dad and I are not together and that'll satisfy dad. And I'm not gonna be so worried about if he doesn't spend all the time that he's been told to spend and teach, and I was like in classroom because I thought we're doing this globally.
Yes.
Other parents try to figure this out too.
Yes.
And my child and your children.
Yes.
I mean, now we're fortunate to be, we're a nurturing, loving household. Not every child has that possibility. My child is getting to learn other things. He is getting to learn how to relate in this new world. He learned about gardening. We did a lot more art. We didn't do a lot of baking this time. We bake a lot, but we didn't bake a lot this time because I was like not going to be in the house with food. Support my nutritional habits.
Yeah.
We found new ways to build forts. We found new creativity. He literally broke his arm the other day. So now we're going to have to, now we get to navigate through what's life going to look like with a broken arm. Yeah, poor kiddo, like start of summer and he broke his arm. And that's another story for another time. Being though, is that I wasn't going to sit in this box of like, oh my gosh, what are the other moms going to think? Because, forget that. No. So yeah. I want to end on this because I love Unfuckwithable. And I love to hear a final comment from you, Susan.
Yeah.
What does that mean? And how do we do it?
Yeah. What it means is being so secure and sure of who you are and what you believe in and what you stand for, that nobody else's negativity, judgment, disappointment, expectations will disrupt you. It is feeling and being completely untouchable, and nothing will disrupt your peace. And how do you do it? It's about saying no. It's about releasing guilt and limiting beliefs and the negative self-talk that berates you and keeps you down. It's about choosing your path and doing it the unconventional way, saying F it if you have to. Even if somebody doesn't like it, and living into that and being completely unapologetic for it. That is the essence of unfuckwithability, is just being so true to yourself. That's it.
I love that so much. And it bleeds into the theme of this conversation of just continuing to choose you, continuing to stay on that pathway. And when you do that, every time you do, that's when opportunities will open up. That's when people will start to enter your life and people will fall away. Let's be honest on both equations. And this is, you know, the word keeps coming dark side of this, but it's really not dark because it's how you choose to really internalize it.
Yeah.
People that fall away are falling away because they no longer align with your frequency. And that's okay because you're up-leveling.
Yes. Yes. And let your light radiate from the inside out. Yes. When you know who you are, your light will radiate. Despite the darkness that is around you, you will be the light.
Yes. I love that. Yeah. Susan, thank you so much for joining me today in this amazing conversation. I so enjoyed our time together.
Thank you so much.
I wish you so much luck as you continue to grow and prosper. And I will include all the links to reach Susan in the show notes. So please read the notes. And Susan, thank you and have a beautiful day.
Thank you. You too, Jocelyn. Take care.